The action of staying where one is or delaying action until a particular time or event. So which means while waiting or while in the waiting room, you might experience a pause. We might not move forward from where we are until God says, move. And if you look at it, this generation, we are so much in haste that we don't want to wait. We want to get everything quickly done. And God is telling us, it's part of me. Waiting is a process which every one of us must undergo. So, I said, we wait for God on so many things. For Him to answer our prayer, for Him to avenge us, for Him to attend to our need, for Him to do a lot of things. But one of the things why we actually wait on God is for His glory to be made manifest. For His glory to be made manifest. Because many are times, there are some certain things that is bigger than us. In fact, many times there are a lot of things that is bigger than us that we cannot do with our strength. Isaiah 40:30 talked about those that wait upon the Lord. He said, even the youth, media, please, can you help us? Isaiah 40, it's a common verse. Isaiah 40:30. He said, even the youth will be weary. Even the youth will faint. And why will the youth faint? Why is he using the word youth? Because one of the things that is synonymous to youth is that we are full of vigor, we are full of strength. But God, at the end of the day, talked about something. He said, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So wait upon the Lord to renew our strength. But a lot of times, while we wait, or while we are in the waiting room, we go into the waiting room with our own timing. With our own time. And fully knowing that God's time is not our time. His concept of time is quite different from our own concept of time. And that was fully established in 2 Peter 3 verse 5 to 9. Where we was talking about a day in the presence of the Lord is about 1,000 days and vice versa. His concept of time is quite different for what we experience. But a lot of us, many are times while in the waiting room, we go into that room with our own time. We give God frame. Okay, by so period, God, if you don't do this, then I will walk. God, if you don't do this, by when I'm this, I will move. Something struck me in the book of John 11. Lazarus was sick. And Jesus was told that your friend, whom you so much loved, is sick. A message was sent to Jesus by Mary and Martha. But Jesus delayed. Jesus paused. Jesus waited. I was wondering, why didn't Jesus just leave at that moment and, get to Lazarus and like, Lazarus, you are healed. Do you know that if Jesus had gone at that moment while he was sick, it wouldn't have been established that he is the resurrection and the life. If you go through John 11, we'll see the account. We'll not see that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus waited for four more days. And I was thinking, if I had to be part of his disciple, I know Jesus would have entered his disciple about the relationship he had with Lazarus. Because for Mary and Martha to have sent, the Bible in John 11 gave the account of what Mary and Martha, how they have shown love to Jesus. So it shows that this family are closely knitted. But Jesus wasn't in haste because he knew beforehand that Lazarus would be sick. Even while Lazarus was still very healthy. Even while Lazarus was still very fine. But Jesus waited. He didn't rush. And at the end of the day, they saw another dimension of Jesus. While we wait, while we're in the waiting room, many a times we look at what people will say. We don't get focused on what God is saying. We get distracted. We get distracted so much that A had graduated, he has first class, he has this, now he's doing PhD, now he had finished PhD, yet I'm yet to graduate for probably first degree and the likes. We look so much at other people while in the waiting room, rather than focusing our attention on God. And that's not the way God wants it. Whoever will wait in that waiting room must have his eyes focused, must have his gaze focused on him. Let's look at two characters that waited in the Bible. Let's open to 1 Samuel 13. It's a story we know. 1 Samuel 13. It was the story of one of the story that each time I look at it in the Bible, I just like, it could have been my story. Saul was elected king, and there was an instruction from Samuel for him to wait 7 days before they are going to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. Samuel waited the first day. Saul waited the first day, the second day, the third day, the fifth day. That account is in 1 Samuel 13. He waited until the seventh day. Samuel did not show up. He was in his waiting room, but Samuel did not show up. The seventh day, I was looking, the Bible did not really give the account of the particular time that he offered the sacrifice. But something was recorded that immediately he performed that sacrifice, he saw Samuel from afar on the seventh day. The Bible did not say on the eighth day, on that same seventh day. But seriously speaking, so had waited. It could have been our story. And what was the excuse that Saul gave? He said when he noticed that people are leaving the camp, when he noticed that people are leaving him, rather than having to focus on the instruction of the Lord, he decided to look at the people. And there was a pronouncement that affected his whole generation. And Samuel said, this kingdom would have been yours forever. Look at that opportunity. The lineage of Jesus would have come from Saul. Said, but now, this kingdom is taken away from you. What a sad story. He had waited for 7 days. But 24 hours make a day, isn't it? A lot of times, while we are in the waiting room, we go into the waiting room with alternative ideas. After all, I have a 2-1, the best student in my department. After all, if I get to see Uncle A, Sister this, things should be sorted. We go into that waiting room having alternatives in our mind. I believe that one of the reasons why Saul took that step was, okay, what is Samuel going to do that is special that I cannot do? Fine, wall is pressing. Philistines are already encamping. What is so big about the position of Samuel that I cannot just walk in and perform the sacrifice? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And from that moment, it wasn't just him. I look at the account. Okay, what happened after? If one of his generation having to check on this passage, would they praise their forefather? They won't. Because they lost that inheritance. All because he couldn't tarry long. All because he couldn't wait. You see, it is so eminent, it's so very, very key for us, if we are going to receive anything from the Lord, for us to understand the concept of waiting. That was the account of Saul. Another person, while I was just trying to look, God gave me another picture of another person. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. These are passages we know very well. Acts chapter 3. I read. Now, Peter and John went up to gather to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid there daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John and Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them this attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I was trying to look at it, a beggar. Do you know that? Okay, there's this popular saying that says a beggar has no option. How is it said? A beggar has. I looked at the life of this brother. We're not told his age. If you read that account very well, after he was healed, when he entered the temple with the brethren that healed him, people recognized him easily. It actually shows that he's been there for a long time. The Bible recorded that he was lame from his mother's womb. But there is something so consistent about his life. They would keep taking him to the entrance of that gate. Do you know that one day the guy would have just wondered, my colleagues are riding bicycles. People are wearing fine clothes to church. This is happening. But why can't this happen to me? The guy will always stay there to wait on people for alms. They will carry him there. And if you have seen people who beg, seriously speaking, it's not easy to beg. Something happened to me recently. That was about 3 weeks ago, thereabout now. I came to church, I parked the car here, I was sent an errand by one of my guys in the church, and I left the car. After I got to where I went to, the cloud became very cloudy and heavy, and I knew it was going to rain. In my heart I was praying, "God, this rain must not fall." Because where I parked the car in the church, nobody hardly would even see that a car was even parked there. And all the windows are down. So I know it's just going to be another story entirely. And I was looking. I now picked up my phone to call. I found out there's no battery on my phone. My phone is dead. The rain started falling. What will I do? Who do I call? Lord, this rain. Let me catch up with a bike that can easily take me down to church. And I have some certain things that water must not enter them in the car. Okay, alas, I had to also take a shield for the rain. And where I was, something was telling me, why not ask someone for his phone to make call? Why worry me? I will ask someone for a phone to call. How will he even feel? I now looked at, and the thing was still telling me, I summoned the courage, and there was a brother that was right by my side, and I beckoned on the brother and I told him, "Sorry, can I make use of your phone?" And the first thing he said was, "Sorry, I don't have credit." And I said, "Okay, sorry, can I use my SIM in your phone?" I said, "No problem, I have this credit." And what I was thinking was, if he had given me his phone to use, the person I would have called was to call my wife, because I don't have anybody's number offhand in the church, was to call my wife, then she will call someone in the church. But that wasn't the plan of God for me. The plan of God was just to call someone in the church, and he gave me his phone. I inserted my SIM, and I called, and alas, I got someone, and they helped me. Many a times, when something is laid on our heart, when we are waiting upon the Lord, we focused more on the people. This guy begging would have, like, Sister Bideshe Milano, why I was begging for him, he looked down on me. Today I'm not going to the temple. Today I'm not going to stay at that entrance. I'm not going. I'm changing my location. The guy would have said, look at that boy. The way he spoke to me. He wanted to even give me the money, and he threw the money at me. The guy would have just like, let me commit suicide. Christians these days now commit suicide. All because we can't suffer long. The guy could have long gone. But there was something so important. So there's something so strange about this guy. In as much as he's a beggar, but he is very consistent. A lot of us, we are not consistent in our waiting room. We go in and out of the waiting room. And I tell you, my brother and sister, go through the Bible very well. Every other person that had a particular miracle done, every other person that had a particular miracle witnessed, had it at the point of their waiting room, in the point of their waiting room. This guy was also there begging Peter. He wanted to receive money. But alas, rather than receiving money, the guy got healed. What if that guy wasn't there that day? What if he had decided in his heart, no, because of what I experienced the previous day, I'm not going. Seriously speaking, my brother, my sister, it is very good to wait. It is very good to wait. It is very good to wait. When we wait on the Lord, when we are in that waiting room, one of the things we gather is experience. One of the things we gather is maturity. We get to know God better. And the funniest thing is that we are not any better when we leave that waiting room than while we are in the waiting room. A lot of times we think that, okay, things are not being answered. Why I'm doing it the right way? But the moment we leave, it's not as if it's going to be any better. It's going to get worse. But a lot of times we think, by the time I do it in this other way. You have the testimony of Brajibola. That was short. I've been privileged to sit down with him and share words together. You need to hear him. And now ask him, which one is better? My brother, my sister, it is very good to wait. It is very good to wait. I asked myself, why do waiting has to be a process from God? And God took me back to Genesis. Do you know that man would have been made from the very first day? Man would have been made from the very first day. Let there be man, and man will come forth, isn't it? But it took God a process to create you and I. God waited until the sixth day. It took him a process. He had to do, you know, processes. For those that are science, process is having to mix many things together to achieve a particular end. Now, it took God a process before man was made. Man wasn't just made. Man wasn't just called forth. And why? In his design, God wants to be perfect about making man. I wonder how we'll look if we are looking like a fish, or we look at ourselves and we look like lion. But God took his time. God waited for man to be created. So if God can wait also for man to be created, which means whatever we must receive from God, we must also wait. And one of the virtues we need to unlock while waiting is perseverance. And what is perseverance? Ability to suffer long. Ability to tarry long. You see, whoever would obtain anything from God must wait. Before Jesus Christ started his ministry, he waited on the Lord. And I tell you, Romans 5, 3 downward, Paul was talking about the tribulations they suffered. But at the end of the day, he said, now they are now matured. The love of God has been shed in their heart. They see no issues again. Everything has now become part of them. They now enjoy while in tribulation. And let me tell you one thing. While in your waiting room, your temptations, your trials will come around what you are waiting for. Is it married that you are waiting for? Is it, name it. Your temptation will come around what you are waiting for. If you look at how Jesus was tempted, someone who had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the first thing was, you can't fast for 40 days and 40 nights and not, the first thing is, let me just get water or let me just get food to eat. Your temptation would come around that point. Let's open our Bible to James and let's see what James 1, and let's see what was said about the issue of perseverance. I read James 1. My brethren, count it all joy. This is King James. But I love the way NIV put it. If there is NIV, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. He said, out of this will develop your perseverance. And it was given a account. He said, perseverance must finish its work. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces faith, produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Another translation says, let perseverance as a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Perseverance on its own is a school. It's from one level to another. By the time you pass this, you graduate to another level. Perseverance must finish its work. At the end of the day, that's when we'll be lacking nothing. Whenever God wants to do something, God doesn't do something halfway. Any miracle God would perform, God will not heal you and after 2 weeks it will resurface. No. No. Even if you go into sin, because it's gifts, God will not call it back. Perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance must finish its work. That's when we'll be whole. That's when we'll lack nothing. And David, a lot of people, they will have different accounts of people that waited in the Bible. And David was talking about something in Psalm 27, verse 14. And there's where I'm going to stop. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 27. David said in Psalm 27, he said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. He repeat again, say, wait, I say on the Lord. I'll be closing here. There's nothing like waiting on the Lord. There's nothing like waiting on the Lord. If we are going to receive anything from the Lord, then we must learn to wait. We must learn to unlock that virtue called perseverance. We must be ready to suffer long. I don't know where you have missed it this morning. Probably you've left the waiting room. You've gone on the alternative route. Or you're about leaving. Or you think things is not happening yet. I tell you, my brother and my sister, God is a faithful God. And God is always on time. You need to trust Him enough for you to go into that waiting room. Last week, we were led on trusting in the Lord. If you don't trust in the Lord, you can't wait on Him. If you don't trust me, if I ask you to wait, you won't wait. Are you going to wait this morning? Or let's bow. I don't know what God has said to you this morning. I don't know what you are going through. But while I was preparing for this message, God told me some waiting will soon be over. I wrote it down. Are you here? You've gone out of that waiting room. You've shifted your gaze from God. You're about giving up. Or you are even saying, no, God does not love me. I tell you, why not return this morning? Why not return this morning? The prodigal son left his waiting arena. Thereafter, everything became catastrophic. But he realizes it and he went back. There's nothing like waiting upon the Lord this morning. Why not talk to your Maker? That grants me grace to persevere. These challenges that I'm going through, grant me grace to persevere.